on my knees, a lonely place to be, and so I learned to depend on me. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I'm living right in it. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity because of greatness. Love of all is happening to me. I found the greatest love of all inside of me. The greatest love of all is easy to achieve. Learning to love yourself, it is the greatest.
Children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be.
All right. Our children are the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. No more backwards thinking, times of thinking ahead. Welcome, welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to bring back the family. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host, and I am so happy and glad you chose to tune in to bring back the family. Focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. So, you know, keep that in mind. First, we want to acknowledge God with the scripture and a prayer, and then we will get right to it. We have our co-host and Jackie Vandegrift and Rebecca Johnson, Callie Pierce, and, you know, our awesome anchor, Pastor O. So let me see. Jackie is going to through our scripture. And so, Miss Jackie Vandegrift, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you. Thank you. And all is great to the listening audience, also to your great work that you put forth and the co-host. I thank you all for letting me join with you all. And we're going to speak about a living sacrifice to God, Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is to serve others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Jackie Vandegrift. This is Rebecca Johnson, and I have come with a prayer this evening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, giver of life, thank you that you hear and answer our prayers. We thank you for your grace and mercy and that you know all things. We thank you for the breath, for family, for the opportunity to come boldly to you. We thank you for electricity and snow that melts quickly, for problems that make us grow, and the weapons to get the victory in battles for you. We thank you for Sister Deaconess Kathy and her contributions and sacrifices for Bring Back the Family. We thank you that she motivates each of us to make our own sacrifices for the youth. We thank Pastor O for his biblical perspective and wisdom to produce this show. We ask that you protect and guide and find homes, good homes, for every homeless child. We ask that you cause all the parents to have a new revelation of you and that you will send the perfect laborer across their paths to bring your word to them and cause the parents to invite you in their lives and cause the children to grow up with your word in their hearts. We thank you and ask these blessings with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Rebecca and Sister Jackie. You know we appreciate you. Hey, so our children are the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. It's time for them to lead, just like we are leading the way in all our endeavors that we lead in. No one is holding us back, okay? No one is holding us back. Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth educationally, professionally, and spiritually in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that they can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around this world. But we have to show them. We have to give them a head start. And all they need is a good foundation, a good foundation. So how do we propose to do this? Bring Back the Family, propose to do this block by block. Do something on your block. Do something on your block that'll help the youth. You got youth on your block? It's just a matter of giving back, sharing, caring, showing love, compassion, some concern, just being a positive role model and a good example that our youth can see and learn and live by, okay? Like you said, look back on your own life and see what you were given and what helped you and what made you be able to make it. We got to give them the same thing and more so that they will be able to make it, okay? Got a little background noise going on. If you want to participate, questions, and get into the conversation, just press 1 and I will open up your mic. And so today we're going to be talking about reading. got a little background noise. We're going to be talking about reading. And we have a special guest today with us that, you know, been working in our community, doing what Bring Back the Family proposed for us to do, okay? And we're going to have Sister Vandegrift introduce our guest for today.
Thank you, Miss Kathy. I have the privilege of introducing a young lady, and I'm looking at the notes that she sent. And she said here, I'm Kay Latham, and I work directly with children for over 20 years. Yes, it's been over 20 years, but since I've been knowing her since she was in high school, I'm looking back at 42 years. 42 years, and we're talking about a young lady that, and I could speak of this because I knew her in high school. I knew her when she became my sister-in-law, and I respect her dearly. She is a mother of 3 boys and 1 girl, but she is a hands-on person. She's the person that will get out there on the baseball field and play baseball just as well as any of the other people that was out there. She is a direct person. But most important, she has a strong desire. Whenever she put herself in a position to do something, I can guarantee you it's going to be done with 110% effort. She has been in public service for nearly 40 years. She's a military vet and a police vet. She found 2 youth organizations, and currently her 8-year-old granddaughter And they started a book club, and I know she was telling me about that, and it's called Cool Kids Book Club. So let me introduce you to this fabulous young lady, and listen to her well, because not only does she speak about what she's doing, she is definitely active, an active participant for all of those years with children. And I would like to introduce K1 Latham. Welcome.
Thank you, Jackie.
Welcome.
Oh, this is a beautiful surprise because I did not know Jackie was going to be on here. And I have my 8-year-old granddaughter, Taylor, with me. And I could only whisper to her, this is your Aunt Jack. We'll be talking with her today. So I'm 56 years old, have been knowing Jackie since I was 14. When I first fell in love with her brother, and we shared 2 boys and 1 daughter and a granddaughter. I've been a lieutenant with the Detroit Police Department since 2006, have been a member of the Detroit Police Department since March of 94, and a member of the Armed Forces, Army National Guards and Reserves from the age of 17. November 1984 until I stopped in 98 when I lost my daughter. So I just got this information from Keela, my girlfriend, cousin, and spoke briefly with Kathy yesterday. And it's just an honor to be able to talk about the Cool Kids Book Club. And I hope you don't mind, because we are talking about kids and kids being our future, that I wanted to include my granddaughter, because in all honesty, this was her bucket list that we start a book club. And as her grandmother, I want to just leave her with roots to know that she is the future and what she does matter. Say hi, Taylor.
Hi.
Hi.
So,
welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Taylor. You know we're glad to have you on. And we can't wait to hear what you have to say. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
All right. My heart is warmed already.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
so,
tell us about
Kathy, do you want me to?
Yeah, just tell us about the book club, you know, because Bring Back the Family is about the youth, and it's about doing something for them so that they can make it in this world. Block by block, you know, we said, do something on your block, okay? So Bring Back the Family and Cat's Kids, which are my kids on Annabelle block, we do a lot of things together. And we go skating, we go to the library, we go bowling, we go to the museums, and we do a lot of things. And so this is something that we want to catch on like fire, and everybody on their block, everybody do something on their block. And then in the future, we'll be able to see what we've done. We've left something behind for the next generation. And so we're happy and excited to hear everything that you have to offer and to the listening audience so that they can participate. So let them
in. Amen. Well, hello. I am a member of Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Ecorse, Taylor and I. Taylor joined the church. Well, she's been at the church since she was born, and she joined the church right before COVID started. She was not able to get baptized, so me being on the mother's board, I baptized her in our backyard pool when church was closed, because we never know when Jesus is ready for us. And religion, Christianity, God is number one in our life. So telling you a little bit about the book club, the Cool Kids Book Club, Taylor, what was the rule in order to be a member of the Cool Kids Book Club?
Be you.
And if you were a kid, you automatically were what? So what we do, I introduced them. We started this club when she got out of school last summer, June 2022. She ended school on a Wednesday. Book club started that Friday. And I introduced them to gang resistance education and training just to get a gauge of where they were at. And at that point, we pretty much talked about bullying and making your own decisions. We skipped over that book because I also was a long-term ELA teacher in middle school. I taught sixth grade reading. So what we did was we went to our first book, Bud Not Buddy, which was based on the Great Depression, about a 10-year-old kid that made the move from Flint, Michigan to Grand Rapids on a quest by himself to find his dad after his mother passed away and he had been shuffled around as an orphan in horrible foster home situations. That book was a bit advanced for the kids. It was a sixth grade book, and the group of kids that I have targeted right now are elementary level, first grade through fourth grade. So we skipped over Bud Not Buddy. We went through a series of L. Ray Jakes books about a second grader. The kids did well there. And after L. Ray Jakes, we went into the Kena Ford group, which is about a third grader. Okay, yeah, you're right. The Trouble Next Door, The Boy Next Door, which was a second grader as well. And then we did Kena Ford, who was a third grader. We read two of her books. So that took us up to five. You're right. It took us up to five books. And we took that from June up until, this is February, up until December. We took a break for Christmas, and I reintroduced them to Bud Not Buddy. And all of the kids are able to read it now. The goal was to improve their reading skills by two levels with a series of homework assignments with each assignment that they had to read. And we met once a week, every Friday or Saturday, depending on the time of the year. And we would come and meet at my home. The kids would each answer, tell two facts about what they read. And then in a roundtable situation, we'd all discuss the book. And then I would pull a chapter out and read it to the kids and encourage them to read, too. We had a few rules. One of the biggest rule was there's no laughing or making fun of someone. So everything we did was built towards or geared towards developing our young minds and building esteem. One of the kids that we have has a speech impediment and reading deficiencies. He has been able to overcome those fears and can read well, stuttering, because he didn't get bullied. And Taylor, since she founded this program with me, is the president of it. Initially, her flyer said, and she invited kids to come and said, no adults allowed, except for her big mama. And I was like, Taylor, you really can't say that. You know, that's kind of weird. So how about we just say adults are allowed and welcomed if they wanted to help. And she was in agreement with it. So, Taylor, can you tell the people a little bit about what you think of the book club and what you've gotten out of it?
I think the book club is a nice place where you can read and do all types of activities. Because one time we went camping, and we were reading this book while we were camping. And then after we got back from the camping, we read about that book.
And so what she's also saying is after there's a reward for each book that they read. We do some type of activity. Whether I'm introducing them to something they haven't done before, for example, camping, or most of the kids in the club have never been to a drive-in, so that was a new experience for them. So we actually did two types of camping. The first one was a trial run, and we slept outside in my backyard. That was dealing with tents and sleeping bags. The second time, after they finished reading, I took them to Sandusky, Ohio, and the goal was to do hollow weekends, visit Cedar Point, and stay in cabins. We had so many activities that we never did make it to Cedar Point. They did trick-or-treating around the campgrounds. They stayed in cabins, and we had additional activities. And what made it even more special, my brother had sustained a stroke, and his deficits, he was able to overcome a lot of the deficits by just working in the book club with the kids. So it was just empowering to him, and I consider him very instrumental in working with the young man who had the speech impediment and the reading deficiencies. What I will remember most about the whole thing is he held a master's in special education, so he had his own way of delivering education to kids. One thing we did to keep the kids very active and motivated with their reading was I made everything a challenge and a competition. I gave out medals and trophies, certificates, just to encourage them to read. And it works out well. You know, I can't say enough about how these babies just really make me feel good and the things that, you know, Taylor as a grandkid is doing. Our biggest goal will be to write a book. And before 2023 is over, we will have published that book, and this book will have been written by the children in the club, and it will be illustrated by a talented child. That's kind of where we're at right now with this.
Yeah, you know, yes. That is really great. And I can imagine what your camping trip was like knowing you. It almost makes me want to be a part of it. So Taylor, this is your Auntie Jack. Could you tell us where how do you want to impact other children?
Well, I want them to be better at reading and to encourage them to be better.
Okay.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you. Kathy, you back?
Yes, I got a little one. No, he wants to bring his music in here, and yeah, a lot of noise going on. So.
Yeah, I apologize for that, Kathy. Yeah. Right now, our group is really small.
Uh-huh.
And the biggest reason it's small is because I'm just not able to get out the way I used to and just recruit people. I have a bus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a business bus. It's my personal bus that I would
mm-hmm.
use just to pick up kids. But, again, it's not under a business. It's just like me and my own insurance. I'd hate to see the kids out in the public trying to catch a bus. And it was just a bit much to just rent vehicles to, you know, carry our kids around. But what I like about Taylor being in charge is they were able to use the parliamentary procedures, which is something I learned from Jack. Taylor is the president. We appointed a vice president. They voted on a sergeant of arms, treasurer, and secretary. So these kids know that they're the core of the group as long as they are a part of the group. And the only way they lose those positions is if they just stop being a part of the program. And what Taylor has learned is how to be fair and understanding. She's learning about responsibility. As I tell her all the time, you know, she has a bigger responsibility than most because this is her program. And so that expectation of her to do better is very, very high. But at the same time, I try not to overwhelm her, ensure that I'm supportive, and I love to watch when her parents get involved with it. So we try to make everything we do with reading, it's a two-hour block. So the first block is reading. The second block is an activity. If they're cooking something, I will have a recipe for them to review, follow the instructions, read it out loud. Everything has to deal with reading. And because they're doing it on their own, they enjoy it even better. So, you know, stimulating problem solving and understanding phonics is so important for our kids right now, because if they don't understand how to read, you know, reading, it is so true that it is fundamental. And I see that children lose that in the very beginning, and we are doing them a disservice when we allow them to be just passed over. What do you say on that, Kathy and Jackie?
Yes. Enjoying everything I've heard so far. And, you know, this is like a resource show as well, and it gives parents some ideas as far as what they can do, and it encourages them to, start their children to read, because you really had a lot of good ideas, and that's given, you know, the parents that's listening and resources where we could let people know exactly what you're doing. You know, you challenge them, you think about writing a book, you reward them for, you know, the things that they do, or each book that they read, and reward them, and that's great. And we're going to be a part of that reading group, so you're going to have more than one or two people in that group, because that's what Cat's Kids do. We want to be involved, and we want to be a part of making sure that the kids I hang out with are going to have something to be able to take with them in their life, okay? It's for the next generation. It's for the next generation. Anybody that, if you have any questions that you want to ask Ms. Kay, feel free, just press one, and I will open your mic, okay? There you go.
Well, while you're waiting for that, it makes me feel good, Kay. A lot of things that I work with young people, family, and friends to over the time that you're using some of that knowledge to share with your granddaughter. Kay can remember, I used to have, I think, about 17 kids that UPS would bring their own separate box for Christmas. You remember that, Kay?
Yes, I do, Jackie. Yes, I do.
And
it was so rewarding.
And it didn't matter. They still felt that they had a box, even though they were grown. They always remain under that umbrella. But I thank you for sharing that, because that's what knowledge is all about, sharing it with the next generation. And I hear so many good things about you, Taylor. I keep up with you. Okay?
Good. That Taylor is on the ball. I love that Taylor. And Miss Kay, you know, you are my kind of servant. You know, I love the way that Jackie introduced you, you know, being an active participant and, you know, setting examples for the next generation. It's just a beautiful thing. Okay.
I mean, it trickles down. Jackie did it to me. Mm-hmm. You know, Jackie did it to me.
Oh,
she helped me get my first job. She introduced me to politics. You know, my first job was the AFL-CIO. And, you know, everything came, it just trickled straight down. The values that she taught me, she was, you know, the best of big sisters, no doubt about it. And, you know, I love her, just love her.
Well,
I just
glad
wanted to make a comment.
Go ahead.
That this is a small world, and you never know who knows each other. And with the things that, you know, I know Kay does and what you do, Kathy, and probably what I did or what I used to do before I had this injury.
Yes, ma'am.
We would work with the youth and work with the kids and teach them and put instill different things and teach them and reward them, you know, as they progressed along. So I love what both of you all are doing, and I'm glad that God has made a way to get us together.
Yes.
So we can
yes.
all work together. Mm-hmm.
Because, if you remember, even when we went to Washington, D.C. with the kids, it was reading involved there. You know, we had our Bibles, and we were praying at the different houses, and we met with John Conyers
in his office.
Yes,
sure did.
It was awesome. It was awesome
yeah.
to watch these children navigate, just looking at them, having a joy for the Bible, a joy for the Lord. Being able to use their words and articulate, you know, and just matriculate as Christians. And it's something, you know, I talk to Taylor about all the time, you know, just having that responsibility. Don't, you know, embrace what you are. Never be ashamed of it. And some people like to call us overachievers, and I said embrace it because we are. And, you know, never be offended because God gave us
all
what
right.
we have.
That's right. And we want some
and
of
I
it.
I can't wait for the book.
We want some of it.
Oh, it's definitely coming.
No, I was saying I can't wait for the book. When the kids get together and write the book.
Oh, yeah, because
right.
Keila and I had a book club before with the babies.
Yeah.
With our sons.
I was telling Kathy we used to go to Barnes & Noble once
yes.
or twice a week. Yeah. So,
yeah,
I look forward
I know,
to participating, getting back busy too.
It's so sad how No Child Left Behind, to me, is taken out of context where we don't even ensure that our children can read and we're moving them on. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's better to hold them back so they can get it. And I understand the argument on both sides because my brother once told me that by the time a child is in the third grade and they're tested, the decision is made based on the results of that test as to how many jail cells have to be built. So
mm-hmm.
when we're talking about passing something to the next generation so that they can do it, you know, this is something that's sovereign and, you know, it just has to last. And we have to take that step. You're absolutely right, Kathy.
Yes, we have to stay involved. And it's never too early for them to read. I remember Keila said that she read to Malachi when he was in the womb, and he came out reading like a champ.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
I know when I found out my daughter-in-law was pregnant, I started reading to her stomach right then and there, kissing her stomach and reading. I always had a book, and the book always, I had to be animated with it. It could never be just a regular read. And so I kind of teach that with the kids now when they're reading, not to be monotonous with it, but to actually put some feelings in it. And the way they do that is we'll bring a preschooler in and let them take turns reading whatever book we give to the preschooler. And the assignment they have is they have to read this story within 10 minutes, and they have to keep that child's attention. So that gives them the opportunity to become animated, embrace the story, be a part of the story, and understand what the character is, the plot, and what their role is as a narrator.
That's like
yeah, how you like doing that, Taylor. It really is. It really is. And it feels good when you watch them apply things that they've learned.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It feels really good.
All right. Well, Taylor, wow, I'm so impressed with you. How old are you, Taylor?
Eight.
8 years old. Precious. Well, I can't wait to gather with you with the 8-year-olds and and so we can get to that level where we're supposed to be as far as our reading.
Yeah. What grade are you in, Taylor?
Third.
And what reading level are you right now?
Fifth grade.
That's where she was at the beginning of the school year. And the book
wow.
she's reading right now is a fifth grade book, Bud Not Buddy.
Mm.
So by the time June comes, the goal for her is to be reading at a seventh grade level. God willing, she'll read even
mm-hmm.
better.
I like that, having goals.
Mm-hmm.
Put that on the list, having goals, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like you said, everybody should learn how to read. And you have adults and teenagers that don't know how to read right now. Like you said, she's reading at a sixth grade level, whereas you got high schoolers that are reading at a sixth grade level. So
yeah, and you know, Jackie,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Kathy, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
it's one thing to read, and it's another thing to be able to comprehend what you're reading.
Yeah.
And
mm.
that's something
very
that,
important.
Yes, and on top of comprehension, you know, so let's say our kids are articulate, now they got to be able to
mm-hmm.
write it down. They have to be able to regurgitate that information that they have so that everybody understands it, so that we can get the message whether or not they understand it, and then we can tackle wherever their weaknesses are and, you know, develop those strengths.
Well, you know, Kay, you just didn't start with your granddaughter. You know, you started with your little ones at a very young age. And
that's
education
true.
was a top priority. With you and your, not just your children, any child that came around you, the first thing you would do when they came around you, they had to read. And
you're right, Chad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening, Jack.
And if there was a flaw, you pinpointed that flaw. And not to put them down, but you embrace them. That's something that you have been doing for many, many years. And certain tactics, because you knew what your children was going to be faced with. I tell people all the time, you know, we were competing against the city. But these children have to compete against the world. So what you're doing is you are preparing them, giving them the tools that they need to walk forward and stand on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when you know, when you talk about what your calling is. You know, I like to think that children education is my calling. Because every time I try to let it go, Lord knows I'm drawn right back in it again, even stronger. And when it aches, when you're not doing it, when you see that there's
mm-hmm.
something broken, you know, that's that Holy Spirit touching you, telling you this is not what you're supposed to be doing. Get out there and do it. So all I can do is say, I hear you, Lord, and I'm moving in your direction. Just guide my feet.
That's right, depending on the Lord, because he sure will give you a nudge. He sure will. All right.
Yes,
anybody
indeed.
Have any questions, any more questions? You want to give some information about how they could contact you if they want to be involved in the book program? And what ages do you take?
Well, actually, I take all ages. Just right now we have elementary students, but every age is open, and I know how to work with all ages. So the contact for me, you know, my email address is my last name, Latham, L as in Larry, A, T as in Tom, H,
A, M as in Martha, the initial K as in King, 238@yahoo.com. That is my email address, and my phone number is area code 313-575-5524. Taylor.
You remember your phone number?
Okay. We'll go.
I know it.
Okay. Well, if you know your phone number, she has her own cell. Give your number out.
Right.
And if you can't remember, that's cool. We'll go with mine because I don't know your number without looking. Okay, she knows my phone number. That's sad,
that's,
but
that's good
it's
enough.
Okay. We'll be working on it. We'll be working on
right.
it.
Right.
But we that's meet every enough. Saturday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., and it's normally at my home. And if anything changes, I put that information out in a feed. I like to text everybody to give them the information, the assignments that we have, the books that we're using. All books I purchase, and after a child reads a book, okay, after a child completes a book, they keep that book. When first starting out, they're given a water bottle, a book bag, the book, and a bookmark. And from there, we figure out what they need and give it to them. And right now, what are we on? Book number six. Yeah, we're on book number six. And before school is out in June, we will have read four more books.
Wow.
So what if you have a child that's in a lower reading level? How do you get them through that book at the same time everybody else gets done?
The way I get them through the book is they will not have – everyone will have the same amount of chapters to read. Now, each kid, I'll talk with their parents to have them, you know, help with the reading assignments because I give a reading log, and I ask that they read a certain amount of time each day to try to get them through it. And if they're having a whole lot of problems and they call me, say, for instance, the parent is having a hard time reading themselves, I will ask them to come over on one of my days off, and we can sit and read together. Or we can talk on the phone, and we can read together. There are ways, but I don't want to take the responsibility from the parents where they're trying to reinforce their reading, but I don't want the kid to fall so far behind because the parent does not have the time or the ability to work with them on the reading. So, you know, we're even trying to open up Zoom. The kids are all computer experts. I'm the one that's not. But I do believe with the Zoom class, if we do that on a daily basis, then, you know, a kid who is having a more difficult time, we can get through it. Because one of the things Taylor likes to do is she'll talk with one of her friends who's having a problem reading, and she'll call and say, hey, do you want to read? Because there's nothing wrong with the kids on their own reading outside of the group to try to get the reading assignment done. What I won't do is just read and have the kid listen to me. I don't care if it takes 15 minutes to read a paragraph. They're going to get through that paragraph. We'll do it together. They may get through the chapter with me reading it, but they're going to have to read some, and I want to help them feel comfortable with it. So what'll never happen with a kid that has a reading deficit is they're not going to get yelled at. They're going to be pushed with all types of encouragement. And if I see that a book is far too hard for them, they'll go to a different book. And then a stronger reader, and Taylor had came up with this suggestion herself recently about breaking off into groups. Those that read theirs in advance, maybe being able to be in charge of a group where someone is having, a group is they're having more of a challenge. So they're going to a different level book, or if they stay with that same book, the stronger readers shadow with a weaker reader. to develop that strength. And I thought that was a good idea she had.
That was a good idea. This is Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I have a question. But first, I want to tell Taylor how blessed she is to have a big mama, because there's a shortage of big mamas. But my question is, what is the most members you have had at one time?
The most members we've had at one time, seven.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we've had seven as the most. And the goal was, I told Taylor, you know, if you have 10 people in your club, that's a nice number. I started ordering books and by tens. Now, I definitely can handle more. And like I told Taylor, once I start driving my bus and picking up people, we would probably have more. But I just haven't been able to get out and really start advertising it. And we just work with the smaller group, Reverend. But remember, I've done a whole sixth grade of 150 kids. Nothing
wow.
but ELA. So I'm experienced in working with a large group. And with the other programs that I had, keeping our children educated, and Junior Leadership Training Corps, for short JLTC, you know, part of it was academic development. And, you know, you just have to get more volunteers to help if you have a larger amount of people so that everybody gets the same type of resources. And then me, my Saturdays are open. If I have a whole lot of kids, then I'll be meeting more than once a day.
Wow.
So that they can get, you know, the type of attention they need.
How much parent participation do you get?
Actually, there's only one consistent grandmother that comes with her grandchild. Most parents will bring their kids and leave and just be back at the time that they're supposed to come. But I have not asked parents to come and participate simply because Taylor's goal was not to have a lot of parents. Initially, she said no parents except for Big Mama, and we had to fix that. Now, I've had parents offer to donate things, and we had to come back off of one goal. We had a goal initially this year to go to Disney World, but that would be a bit much. And at that point, cruise was me and you, Disney World for the kids. I'm sorry, my grandbaby was correcting me, so I had to on the spot and stop that and make that correction. Anyway, so no, it's not a whole lot of parent participation. And I think the biggest part of parent participation right now would just be transportation. Most parents would not be available to bring their kids to a book club.
Okay, so they're just gonna learn and read on the set right there. They're not gonna take it home and read it, or will the parents be responsible for helping
them
read
it home? No, they have to take it home. It would be my job if I see that a child is just not doing anything. I will contact a parent and ask, okay, did you know your kid had to do this? And that's the premise of having a reading log. And so to circumvent that, I like to send out texts to the parents and say, hey, don't forget, this is where your child, this is what the assignment is for this week, and this is what I would like for you to do. If you have any problems, give me a call, and let's see what we can do to fix this.
Okay. Great. Okay, anybody have any other questions? Feel free to hit one and... Now we'll open up your mic. This is just great. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what bring back the family. That's what it's about, helping the next generation get what it is that they need to make it, because they have to know how to read. They can't go much further without knowing how to read. And Rebecca, what did you say about writing? You had a saying that you said about writing, because it all goes together. reading and writing and what it'll do for your future?
Well, for the youth to understand that writing is a weapon. So if you're proficient in writing, it's like having an M16.
Okay, and what does that mean?
And it'll do what for you?
In your lifetime, when you get older, you'll be able to articulate yourself, and you'll be able to communicate exactly what's on your mind. And most people aren't able, so it will set you apart.
And you know what, Rebecca, is what just tagging on the back of you, Rebecca, and I agree with you, because they're called ghost writers, and that is a very good income. A person, if they have that ability to edit people's work or edit writing or write for people, a lot of people pay a lot of money for that, and they pay children to do that. You know, there's programs out there that children can do complete these writing sessions, and they pay them well for that. And so I think that tagging on to what Miss Johnson is saying is that the skill of the mind and the flick of the ink pen, if you know how to maneuver that ink pen, it could be very valuable to you. And that's a skill that a person don't ever have to worry about an income.
That's true, and it starts with reading. So if you read well, it's very likely that you will write well.
You know, and that's where I'm seeing a flaw with some of the children that do read well. They're writing, like I talked to Taylor a lot about it. Your writing is not reflecting how you read. So when you read what you wrote, if it doesn't sound like you would speak, then you need to correct it. You don't speak in broken English, fragmented sentences, so make a complete thought. Put it out there, because if I don't understand and you don't understand what you're writing, then you haven't presented your thoughts properly. And so the reader won't understand what you're saying. So that's why it's so important that, you know, that writing, like you said, you know, flicking that pen when you have that thought, you know, putting out that rapid thought is so valuable. And it's a skill that will definitely give you an income.
Great, okay. Sorry, I had myself on mute. Yeah. I got a little one. Kind of need some attention. Okay, so do anyone else have any questions for Taylor or Miss Kay? It's been a great show. I know that you were saying something about the comprehension. So how do you help them to be able to comprehend what it is that they read and do? I know you started like the demonstrating and you said something
okay.
About
Taylor, how do I check your comprehension from what you're reading? What do I do?
You tell me what I do wrong in the... You tell me how I can fix it.
What do I require that you guys do when you read?
To use your finger so you can know where you are going.
Oh, what about when you're writing? What do you have to write?
You have to write what you think about the book and write what happened in the book.
And normally I make you do, you get assigned per chapter what, how many facts? Okay, and what is the purpose of giving you making you write down facts?
So you can remember more about the book. And once it's time to read, we go over our facts.
So that's our way of establishing comprehension. And if I see that they are writing something that's far off from what it truly was saying, then we discuss it. They get a better understanding of it. And so the more they practice, the better they get at it, the more comfortable they'll be. And as I tell parents, the way they can gauge what their child has done and whether or not they're comprehending what they're reading is they should be able to see a difference in their report cards. If things work the way I intend them to work, a lot of stuff that the teachers begin to teach them will not be foreign to them. They will understand it already and should be able to excel.
Okay. That is very thorough. You are really an excellent teacher. Okay, let me see. 6412.
Okay, I do have one comment.
Family. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes.
Reading is good for you because it improves your focus, your memory, your empathy, and communication skills. It can reduce stress, improve your mental health, and help you live longer. Reading also allows you to learn new things to help you succeed in your work and relationships. Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely, yep.
Okay.
Very good, Keila.
All right. Mother Irma, you have something you want to say?
Well, good evening.
Glad to hear.
Mm-hmm. Certainly glad to hear the subject of tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I have a niece that each time she was pregnant and had a baby shower, this was her request to receive a book, not so much as a lot of gifts, but that was what she requested was a book so she could read to her baby while it was still in her. And I thought that was a beautiful thing. And also,
yes.
I'm so glad to hear this kind of a program going on. And if it's any way possible that it's sometime in the future that I could even be sitting in on a time as an adult.
Absolutely,
and,
whenever you want.
And I would really appreciate being a part of such goings on. I did have a young man living with me, and he's 16 now, but he's gone back to his mother in Las Vegas. So I raised him from 2 years old up until just a couple of years ago. And I certainly wish this was going on when he was here with me. And, you know, being a teenager, too, it's hard to kind of sit him down and be next to you and do things together. But you just have to push it and be strict about it. But now that he is no longer with me, but I would certainly suggest this kind of thing to other children that are coming along. So I really appreciate you being here. I'm not sure if I know our guest tonight, but I live on 12th Street, so maybe we have met before.
Maybe,
but
so,
anyway.
Because my grandparents live on 13th.
Okay. But I'd be glad to meet with you sometime. Unfortunately, I'm not driving just yet. I had a long time illness last year, so I'm not driving just yet. But I'd love it if we can get together sometime soon.
Yes,
all right. God bless all of you.
God bless you, too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That Miss Kay is a go-getter. You are such a go-getter. I just love it. Keila used to tell me how you guys used to go camping and do a lot of activities and things like that. And I was like, I want to go.
Yeah.
How important is
it? I used to always have at least 25 kids with me.
We used to have baseball games, camping, all kind of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Because someone did do that for you back in the day, so it just carried on. Miss K.
That is true. That is true. Actually, they didn't, you know, I attribute a lot of stuff to my sister-in-law, Jackie. She watched me as I grew up. And when you talk about, you know, working with the block, because I forgot all about it until she said what she said. When I initially had a vision with Coast, keeping our children educated, it was to use the block or the neighborhood. And it started with my kids in elementary. My oldest would be 38 right now, and the youngest is 21. But we would go from one spot in the neighborhood to another, working on reading, English, and math. And we would use everybody, including senior citizens that were not literate, because those make the best historians. They could sit down, and they would have a group of kids who would sit down on the floor and just listen to the stories that they had to share and learn of their culture and history. So I give it all to Jackie, you know, for, you know, stirring that interest with me.
Great.
All right.
And I'm very proud of you, Kay. I am truly proud of you and have always been proud of you. Because, you know, I just, as they say, it was a no tolerance, I guess, type person. And I noticed that, and I look back at my younger family, and I'm proud of them with, you know, with what they're doing and how they have taken that knowledge, because we received the knowledge from our parents, and each generation, they do better than us. And that makes me feel very good.
Yeah.
That's great. What is it? How important is it for you to have a library, for kids to have a library in their home? Did Taylor have her own little private library?
Yes, she does. She has two. She has one in her home and one over here. And it's I like to, between her mom and dad, I would say that her dad is the one who really pushes her towards literacy, whereas mom works with her with other academics, school projects, you know, learning the whole process of being a girl and having that bond. But I listen to even the conversations my son has with her and has always had with her. He's always talked to her as if she was an adult, and sit down and would reason with her, and would make me think about, you know, me saying, if you could systematically and logically talk to me and convince me of something, you wouldn't get in trouble. So Taylor has had a library since she was newborn.
Since she was one?
No, since she was a baby, a newborn. Before she came out of her mom's womb, there was a library set up for her, because I used to read to her in her mom's womb. In each book I read, I, you know, saved it for her. And then her other grandparents would give her boxes of books. So her library is extensive.
Wow. She couldn't help but read. That's great. All right.
Yes. Wow. Her other grandmother was a preschool teacher, absolutely.
Well, good deal. I can't wait to get our little my little black hooked up with the Cool Kids Book Club.
You know, that's what's up.
Cool Kids. Yeah.
Hey, Kathy, one thing I forgot to mention. There's one thing I forgot to mention. Every book that we read is an African-American book, because I want kids to see characters like themselves, and every author is African-American.
great.
And to me, it's just important that they see them in these
mm-hmm.
writers and authors to know where that there are no limitations to what they can do.
That's right. Awareness, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that because it's a lot, you know. Because you have the ability to do it, and you know, and some structure, and so they could run all over me when it comes to that.
No,
I'll give them a book.
You know, it's only Kathy. It's only because I like going to different characters. You know,
mm-hmm.
even with my fifth graders, I used to come
uh-huh.
in there with my police radio, pretend I cut it on, and I would have my uniform
uh-huh.
from my program on, which was like all
mm-hmm.
black fatigues. And the children
mm-hmm.
used to wear red camouflage pants and red polo shirts. And so when I came in, I came in character. I would hit the lights off, and I'd go through the motions of cutting on the radio and pretending that I was calling out a run where I was taking all the kids to this wonderful location, and everybody would get on the floor and we would low crawl into a circle because, see, what we have to do is be able to think outside the box how we read to the kids. That, you know, some kids don't like to sit still when they read. So you got to meet them where they are at. So even in this
mm-hmm.
book club, you know, sometimes they're laying down or sitting up. I just don't like them doing a lot of rooting where it interferes with other kids, but I want them to be comfortable. You know, it's uncomfortable to just sit in a hardback chair and read. You know, they need
mm-hmm.
to, like I'm trying to explain to them, you got to be a part of the story. Can you imagine yourself in this story? And if you can imagine yourself in this story as whatever character you want to be, then make that story fun. It's okay if you cry in the story because sometimes it's meant to cry. Sometimes it's meant to laugh. And if you find yourself laughing or your heart beating fast and you're getting excited because of what you're reading, it's because you're in that story. Taylor, what are you smiling at? What are you thinking? Okay. She says she was smiling at me. And I ask her that a lot. Why are you smiling? Why are you laughing? And she says, because I know something is about to come out of your mouth that's going to make me laugh. You know, you just got to. So, you know, I'm old and broke down. I'll be honest with you. But my mind is keen, and I'm still thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
And that's how we keep the ladies' attention.
And you want to get all you can to give them all you can while you're here. And why they here. It's like something that you want to do to the end of life. That's the way I feel.
Yes.
Do you have kids to come back and just talk to you about what you've done for them and how you helped them?
Yes, not so much as from a book club because the book club is so new. But from other things I've done, I've worked with kids that was incorrigible, other kids that was just lonely. And one group of kids, that, you know, everybody was just sad. So I've had kids come back and tell me how something has helped them. I do checks to see where kids are. A few are in jail, but the majority of them have finished high school. Some have gone to college, but those that have finished high school, the majority are leading productive lives. So it's just good to know that you made a little bit of a difference.
Hey, Kay, I have a question, too. We worked, Kay and I worked together at Mount Zion on a scholarship ministry. Do you ever see any of those kids that may have graduated and gone on?
From the scholarship ministry?
Yeah.
saw... A couple of the church kids, but that have completed college where they stood up in church and shown where they've completed. But most of the kids I see are not from the church because I've been around about 500 kids throughout my, you know, time since I've been dealing with kids. And it's amazing when you see them, just like I saw one of my kids. She's going through physical therapy with me. And, you know, she was like, excuse me, "Are you Mrs. Latham?" And she pulls her mask down, and it was one of my babies, you know. Or I'm at the bank, and it's another one of my babies sitting behind she's a teller. And it makes you feel good because these were kids that were wrote off as weren't going to be anything. And they're being productive. So, you know, you just have to thank God because those blessings are there.
I love all that you have said and all that you have done and just what you're, you know, going to continue to do. It's just, it makes me feel so wonderful. And I'm sure everybody is just overjoyed with it because, you know, that's what it's about, helping the youth get what it is that they need to make it so that we won't be victims of not helping them. Because if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Okay.
Yeah, and we just can't be afraid of our own. And it's so easy to get wrapped up in being afraid of who you are. Yeah, and when I say who you are, I'm talking about, you know, the product of us. You know, we don't go out after dark because we don't want to run into what we consider, you know, bad seeds. Or we got to be careful how we approach and pass people because we're afraid of them. And I don't want to be that person that's afraid of my own.
Right. Me either.
I want God to lead me with the Holy Spirit so he protect me from seen and unseen dangers. But I want him to give me the strength and the voice to speak up of how great he is and how great they are expected to become.
Right.
And let them know they can do it. You know?
They can. And
they got prayers from all of us.
Yeah, we have to encourage them and not, you know, look down on them because they need us. They really do. Just like we needed somebody and reading. That's what this was all about, reading. And the more you read, the more you learn. Taylor.
Absolutely. Taylor.
Taylor, are you there? We're so proud of you. We are so proud of
you.
So what are you going to be when you grow up?
I don't know yet.
You don't know that yet?
No.
Do you have any thoughts of what you might want to be? Not really?
No.
Okay.
She's sure about herself.
Look, I thought she was going to say she wanted to be the police, okay? I really thought she was going to say she wanted to be the police. I wasn't expecting to hear doctor or lawyer, okay?
Okay.
I'm biased. I am so biased.
Well, we are sure looking forward to seeing what little Taylor do. We are looking forward to that. I am excited. All right,
but I know
Taylor,
whatever she does, I just pray that, you know, she keep God first. And he guides her. Because like I told her, you know, the only beauty she can possess is that beauty within that's about God. He'll make everything else work out. Okay?
Right.
He'll bring the word.
Help us make a way.
Yes, he will.
Well, it's been beautiful. Anybody else have anything before we bring the awesome O on? And just thank you so much, Miss Kay and Taylor. Just thank you. We don't have a gift for you, Taylor. Just very proud of you. You just keep on helping your fellow child friends and helping them to be able to read. I'm glad that you are just so sharing and loving that you want to see your fellow person make it and be able to read too. That is so loving and kind of you.
Thank you
so much. And thank you. You're teaching us a lot.
You
got grown people that don't know how to give. So thank you for being the giving little 8-year-old that you are. Proud of you. Okay, well, thank you. Anybody else have anything? Awesome O? Oh, wait a minute. Let me find Awesome O first. Oh, I know he's been listening, and he is ready to jump in, and probably has his hand raised. I probably didn't even see him. Hey, Awesome O. Has it been awesome or what?
It's awesome. It is. It really is. You know, and again, it's been refreshing, you know, hearing the next generation coming up and already with a servant kind of attitude, or, you know, already looking back to bring somebody along with them because they know what they're getting from it. And that kind of excitement, that kind of passion is catching. It's contagious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're excited about something and when we are passionate about something, that's what grabs people. That's why people watch sports games, and that's why people enter the games of competition. That's why people love entertainment, because those who are playing the game, those who are performing, they're passionate about it, and their passion drags us right into it. And so it was good hearing that, and it's refreshing because if all you see is what you see on the news about our young people, then that can be kind of depressing, and that can make the future look pretty bleak. But when you hear, you know, those who ran the show just a couple of weeks ago, and then this young Taylor this evening, already looking forward to a future of helping people and not just helping herself, already understanding that, you know, that we are part of a cosmos, that we all exist here together. And I think that's awesome. And her mother and parents, you know, being intentional about raising their child, train up a child in the way they should go, and they're being intentional about that. And what I love about it is not just biblical. Yes, that's important. That's the foundation for everything. But then we live secular lives too, and we need to be prepared for that. We always say that your gift will make room for you. Well, we have natural giftings that God gives us too. And when we take advantage of those, they make room for us to be able to get somewhere, to be somewhere, to have access to a place, to give us opportunities to be able to spread the gospel because we have this gifting that we're passionate about and this gifting, you know, that is attracting. I believe that if we work, you know, John Calvin went to Geneva because everybody there, Protestantism had broke out, and they all fell into Protestantism because no longer did you have to work to be saved as Catholicism taught, but now you can just be saved because you believe in Jesus. And so the question came, then if Jesus died for all of our sins and we have nothing to worry about, then why should we do this or and not that? You know, what makes the difference? Why can't we sin and still win? Well, Calvin came up with an ingenious idea to help give Protestants a new reason for doing right. And he said, well, you know, I don't agree with this theology, but this is what he said, that you don't know if you're going to heaven or hell until you pass away. And so it would do you good to be busy in your vocation. To work, you know how the Bible says, work out your soul's salvation. Of course, we're not working for salvation because we have that just by believing that Jesus died and rose again, right? But what he was saying is if you are saved, then you should live like it, and it should show up in whatever you're doing. And I believe he based a lot of his thinking on Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to the end, which tells us to work exactly like he told them, to work like we're working for Christ. Okay, so when we work our vocation like we're working for Christ, in that way we're lifting Christ up without knowing. I'm doing a good job on my job, but in that way I'm lifting Christ up, like Dr. Tony Evans did. He worked his vocation well. He worked at a bus station, and they was the ones who would get the bags ready for the buses, and everybody else was just slacking off and going to sleep. But, of course, he didn't. He worked like he was working for Jesus. Turns out all of the bosses knew what was going on, fired the bad guys, hired some new guys, and made him the new supervisor. So because he lifted Jesus, it's like the Hebrew boys did, the Lord lifted him. And, you know, reading, that's the beginning. I have loved reading ever since I can remember. I mean, I used to think I was ripping Dr. Seuss, getting my Dr. Seuss Cat in the Hat books and Green Eggs and Ham and all of that. I thought I was getting them for free because they would say, bill me later. And then they would just ask you, are you 18? And, of course, I would check yes and then drop the little postpaid card in the mail. Then the book comes. And I kept doing that, and I kept getting more books. But I love reading. I loved Weekly Reader. I especially loved Horses. I loved The Cowboy Days. Those books perked my imagination. They pricked my imagination about horses so much so that when I was 13, 14, and 15, I had a chance to go over in Canada and live on a horse ranch, the Broken Wheel Ranch. So those books, they spur your imagination. They help you to believe the impossible. Plus, they give you information, or what seems to be impossible. Plus, they give you information about all kinds of things, especially about the world, so that you don't feel so intimidated about it. You can feel kind of confident and comfortable in it because you understand it. And so reading is most definitely fundamental. I don't know how you make it through life without that. And it is just so reading can make a bad day turn into a good day. Reading can make a rainy day a wonderful day. Reading can make a day like today an awesome day. But without reading, you don't know a lot. And you tend to only know what you see right around your area, your environment. That's what you know, and that becomes a destroyer. Reading can take you up out of your environment. If you never could even walk out of your city, reading can take you out of the city. I once saw this movie called Shawshank Redemption. And one of the things that Morgan Freeman, you know, he always says something wise, but he was talking about this man named Andy Dufresne and how he taught him as long as you read that you can never be imprisoned. And that reading ended up giving him a way to get out of prison, you know, but still what he meant was reading would take your mind off your current situation and help you to go places that you can't go because you're in here, but they can't stop your mind from going there. So reading is a way of being a great explorer. Every time I get a book, I got a book, the book that I'm working with now is The Confessions of St. Augustine. Every time I pick that book up and I begin to read, I go back to the years 300. And I begin to think like they thought and travel through that period in his life with him at that time. So it's like I have, back in the day they used to have this, on Sundays they had these real crappy kind of cartoons, and one of them was the Sherman and the Professor. And they would get into the Wayback Machine. They would go back in time and walk through history. And that's what books can do for you. They can help you see the future, especially the Bible, because Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes in John chapter 16, he won't speak on his own. One of the things that he'll do is tell you what's to come. And so books are amazing. But today, you know, we don't like to read so much. We like to get up on YouTube and just let somebody tell us. We, you know, push a button and then somebody read to us. Still, when I read the Bible, and Lord knows I use Bible Gateway and I just click play and I let Alexander Scorby, just whatever his name, Max McLean, I just let him go ahead on and read. But my eyes see every single word. As he's reading, I'm seeing those words. So we're reading together. I don't want to lose the ability to sit down and open up a book and control and self-control my mind enough to read a book. A lot of people can't do that. They cannot read a book, okay? And I don't ever want to lose that. And I think, you know, especially the older you get, the more you should read so that you keep your mind working. You keep it thinking. Life is becoming too easy now. Every time I turn the channel on the television, the remote control tells me next time just press the button and tell it to go to that channel. Really? Already having trouble remembering people's phone numbers because they're in my phone. So, you know, I think that we shouldn't give up on books, and I think that we should. You know what I mean? I'm already. So I think we, if somebody said, what's my number? I have to get my phone and show it to you. But anyway, I guess this is the new version of the phone book that we used to have back in the day. But, yeah, reading is most definitely fundamental. And to hear, okay, that was awesome. Okay, since it was awesome, we just do it again. But anyway, it was awesome to hear young Taylor and her mom. And it's just refreshing to hear a mother, you know, parents that passionate and that intentional about their children. It's refreshing because, I talk to people and I hear things about parents and what parents are like nowadays. But then this shows me that all parents are not like that, that God still has some parents out there who want to be parents, who keep that foundation, who keep Jesus as that foundation, but understands how important it is for the children to begin to read. My mother made sure there was, and father, they made sure it was all, if it Reader's Digest, we had that, because anything we saw him looking at, we would look at it just because he looked at it. She always had a Bible on the table and one with big, giant, beautiful pictures in it, because she knew that if we didn't read the words, we would read the pictures. And then she always had another book that was coming to me that was right there on the table. And I think that book led a lot of us to Christ. I know it got me. But there was always something to read. And all of us became avid readers. And then I started reading about cars. And the next thing, you know, I'm starting to put them together and take them apart and put them together and take them apart and then started racing them. And that stuck with me to this day. But, yeah, all of that came from books. I'll never forget reading Chilton's automotive book. And there were a lot of them on different cars. But when you want to know something, it doesn't matter how thick the book is when you want to know. But, yeah, awesome show. Oh, Mind, I love the title, Mind is a Terrible Thing to Waste, and that goes, you know, especially for our kids. And today they're wasting away with these phones. Everything is on the phone. I was watching, and I'll quit after this, I was watching a show yesterday, and there's this new app out called ChatGPT. CVT or something like that. And this one little boy, was his girlfriend was just crazy about him, because every time she texts him, he texts right back something awesome, something uplifting, something that just made her feel awesome. And then there was these other kids who were horrible at writing essays. All of a sudden they're just writing the most wonderful essays. They teach her is just as proud as he can be, because all his students have just suddenly, finally started learning what he was teaching them. Turns out, ChatGPT or whatever it is, it was doing all of that. And turns out that is real. It was in a cartoon. And they were making, not really mocking it, but showing how dangerous it is. Because skills that God naturally gave us, we're getting to the place where we won't even turn a channel on the television. If the remote don't work or we can't find it, we don't know how to change the channel on the television. But for a minute, and then we'll figure, oh, that's right, you can go over to it and do that. And this thing was writing papers so they don't have to write no more. They were responding to people so they don't have to think what to say no more. One boy was so good at it, he wouldn't even look at the response. He was just pushing the buttons without even looking at them and sending it back. But one day his girlfriend wanted to talk to him about some of the things that he was sending her and how awesome they were. And then she suddenly discovered he wasn't doing it. It was ChatGPT or whatever they call it that was doing that. So we shouldn't get away from reading books with our own eyes and using our heads and sitting there and being quiet. I know it's easy to push play and let somebody just talk to us, but generally you just go to sleep, okay? If you're going to do that, at least read along with it. Read the words so you don't lose that skill and so you don't forget how to communicate with people. And you can have conversations with people without having to Google everything. You read a book you already know. So that was awesome. You know, awesome, awesome. Another one, Cat, right out of the park. You know, that's like that when the bat go crack, you know that ball goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another one right out
home
of the park.
Run. Couldn't have did it without that little Taylor. Mm-mm.
I'm telling you.
I was a shining star right there.
I'm still cat over the... Oh, Cal jumped over the moon with Shania and them. You know, that was just awesome. And now Taylor, even younger, now she's a star.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy.
Awesome. But see,
she's
you know what, though?
The show one day.
When parents pay attention to their children, you get that kind of response. And then all it takes is just a little bit of intentionality. And you get that much results. You get that kind of result. And that's all the Lord wants. And, you know, it excites him to no end to hear Taylor. You know, because that's why he gave her to that parent. So that special could come out and be nurtured. And then the question is always with him, with the Lord is, what will the Lord do for a parent who raises a child to be like Taylor, able to actually understand when to say thank you and to be honest and say, well, I don't know. There's a lot of people in school when they ask them what you want to be, and they got a million things. And it's like, I'm going to wait on that. Okay, I'm 2.5 right now. I think I'm going to wait to get back to me when I'm 3.
I think that she knows that she has options.
Yes, that's the thing. That's the awesome thing. She knows she has options, and you know what? Reading gives you options. Reading opens your mind to things. You know, I never dreamed until I read a book on agronomics, I never dreamed I would love working with plants and bugs and diseases and insects. I never dreamed I would be so excited about that I would literally do that for a living for 25 years. That was not something, but all it just started with reading. And I read more and more and more, and then I got certified, then I got licensed, and I opened a business, and then every 3 years I had to read more and more and more so I could recertify, and all of it started with just words. It all started with words and ideas.
Well, awesome. Well, Miss Kate, thank you so much. How did you like your surprise?
I loved it. I love that surprise. I'm telling you. I am so overjoyed to hear my sister.
Right.
And I'm
so
proud of Taylor. Yeah.
And
we both just thank you that you gave us an invitation. Thank you.
Well, we can't wait till you come back because I know you have another topic that's close, you know, and dear to your heart. So we're going to
have you
when you are ready and, you know, to come back and just let me know. And we're going to be ready for the treat.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and we just thank you so much. Thank you, Taylor.
You're welcome.
I can't wait to see you face to face. All right. Any last words you guys want to say?
Well, I like to say we love you.
We're
going to be praying.
Thank you.
And look forward to, you know, talking with you all again.
Yes. Looking very forward to it. So like Pastor O said, mind is a terrible thing to waste. Reading for life. The more you read, the more you learn. Okay? The Cool Kids Black Club. I love that. The Cool Kids, because if you can read, you're cool. You're not going to just be cool. You're going to be a reading cool person. You're going to be cool because you can read. How is that? I think that kids would really embrace that. You know why I'm really cool? Because I can read. That's what they're going to say.
And that's what's up.
All right. Hats off to the Cool Kids Black Club. And that's what bringing back the family is about, doing something in your community, on your block, for your people, bring back the family. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, everybody. Keela, everybody that participated and listened. And, you know, we just got to get busy with what we could do on our block, okay? So we will see you next week, same time, same day, different topic. And this was just, it was beautiful. It was awesome. So let's see. We're going to go out with a song, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you this Saturday with Cat.
Yes.
Yes, bring back the family. That's what we're about, bringing it back. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Thank you.
There is a place for me. There is a place for me. There is a place for me in the body of Christ. Yes, there is a place for me. There is a place for me. There is a place for me in the body of Christ. And I belong here. Wouldn't have it that way. Ooh, when I step back.
There is a place for you and me. It's in the body of Christ.
Hey, and I'll be loving.